Уважаемые участники, гости форума будущего 2050, мы рады приветствовать вас.
We are glad to welcome you, and we are beginning the program of the forum with a panel discussion: "The City of the Future, Moscow 2050, the Best City of the World." I invite the moderator, Tatiana Vershigora, to be presenter, Financial Observer of RBC. Good afternoon, my dear colleagues. Dear listeners, I'm glad to welcome all of you at the panel discussion, "The City of the Future, Moscow 2050, the Best City on the Earth." Today, we're not going to speak only about the city, we'll speak about the heart of Russia. Every country has its own heart, and for Russia, certainly that's Moscow, which embodies all our plans and visions for the future. This is where we see all the economic and other moves that then would proliferate across the country. Moscow for the rest of the world, that's a city that offers the best solutions. This is the city where the modern houses, neighbor, green parks that offers the best technologies, with all the routes being very well thought out, where the civic participation is very much welcome. Moscow, the future. How do you see that? Let's imagine that. And while you're imagining that, let me say some housekeeping things. Our panel discussion today will last for 60 minutes only, but we'll listen to four speakers. One of the speakers will join us a bit later, and I hope that he will be able to join us. And I will give 10 minutes for every speaker so that everyone could have his time, that we could hear every point of view. And without further procrastination, let us proceed immediately with the discussion. What the modern city development is about. This is not just about square meters being built, but this is more about a combination of convenience, comfort for the citizens. That's about digitalization. That's about the environmental agenda. How are these all things possible? What technologies would create comfort and convenience for our citizens in 2050? For the subsequent 20 to 25 years, I pass the floor to Alexey Komov, a Vice President of the Union of Architects of Russia, first Vice President of the Union of Architects of Moscow. Mr. Komov, over to you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, my dear colleagues, dear friends. And you have very rightly said everything about Moscow, first of all. This is the capital of our motherland. And that's why it is in the limelight. What the capital is about, that's where the spiritual transport and other hubs merge. For some time, Moscow would lose that status, then would regain that. And in essence, that burden of being a capital, being a metropole, obliges it to be among the leaders in terms of the urban development and in other aspects as well. If we look deeper into the history of Moscow, this is a role model of the Russian development and design, and different options and different varieties that were experienced by the Russian architecture are present here in Russia. So this is like a textbook, therefore. You can read Moscow as a textbook, and certainly Moscow underwent certain transformations and pilots and experiments, but as a big metaphysical force, Moscow always could withstand that, including the fire of 1812, was used for the benefit of the city. Therefore, now we are having the Moscow Empire style since then for Moscow urban development. The notion of a city on a river, this is not just about nice facades, but strategically it was quite significant. This is also about defensive and transportation features. So Moscow, which is located on the river of Moscow, this is another element of the old Russian feature. That's a city, a fortress city, which is connected via a river with other princehoods, with other cities. Moscow. This is a city of irregular planning, which at the time could digest, could offer some radial routes, and Moscow consists of different radiuses and circles, like rays and circles. Some experiments were made during the USSR. And on the one hand, the focus was made on industrialization, but at the same time, we lost a lot. But nevertheless, Moscow survived that as well. And now, the architectural and urban planning things are not just about beautification or gentrification. This is not just about making parks, and this is not just about a 15 minutes distance city and the territories that were detached from the city to accommodate something else. We are following the global trends. That's about the renewables. That's about AI, sustainable development, and neural networks. All these features could be noticed in Moscow, and we can see the results of those trends. But let us discuss what city we will see in 20, 25 years from now. How will it look like? What may change in the city of Moscow? And I mentioned rivers, but even the railroads also change the empire. And in terms of safety and security, the development of autonomous transportation, this is something that may make us take off the ground, and the very structure of the buildings and the communication would change, and probably some territories would be released so that we could better use them. At the moment, we live in kind of circles of planning, and what we have built may become obsolete or outdated. The cities should not only be built, but also should be brought up. The use of AI, this is not just per se, for the sake of some nice pictures. This is about planning. Neural networks being used for architecture. This is not just about meeting the people's requirements. This is not just about the city to adapt for the people's needs. This is not about measuring the ambient temperature and the heart rate. But this is how we impact the citizens, the residents, and those who operate those systems would be the ones who would set the tune and who are going to be the operators. I'd hope that these would be educated or enlightened architects. An architect should be knowledgeable not just about the buildings. For instance, we have such a notion as the international relations architecture. Architecture is about a structure. This is about making programs or developing software. So just like in Matrix, the main protagonist, this is not Neo or anyone else, but this is a man with a white beard who knows where it is all going to. I'm sure that the architects, hand in hand with those who are taking decisions, would be the ones to create a city that would be not only comfortable and convenient, but also it would offer an enormous, powerful inner force and would bring about a new Russian man. Well, how? The city is going to bring about a new man, and what technologies may contribute to that? I've already said that. The technologies that are available, for instance, neural networks, and, for instance, setting the meters and different equipment and even the things that would read the heart rate of the city and that would process that data on the servers within the control rooms means that even the houses may be flexible in terms of their structure. But at the same time, we have to remember the notion of an identity. We should not sacrifice that. We should not overlook the common sense, because the old city is not just a human-driven, is not a car-driven, but it is a chariot-driven. This is our history, which again impacts a man. So on the one hand, that's true, those physical processes and neural processes are important. Artificial intelligence matters. But an architect has the most important thing. He works for the longer run, and this long-term planning is something that we should not forget. Availability of civilization on a certain territory is judged by the architecture, for instance. Once we speak about Renaissance or Baroque, these are the styles that could be seen within the architecture. The artificial intelligence, environmental agenda, and vertical greening, these things would be there. But how the city would change by 2050? What technologies would emerge, such as autonomous vehicles or flying vehicles, probably would change the very structure of the buildings. Probably not only we will walk on the streets, but we will somehow move above the city, and that would release a lot of territories that now are being used for transportation. In essence, some progressive technological solutions are even being slowed down because we are just developing the legislation, the criteria to be used to regulate those things, to control those things, and to control or to adapt that for the existing infrastructure. Thank you so much, Mr. Komov, for a very detailed presentation. Thank you so much for noting that a comprehensive approach is significant for the territorial development. Bear in mind that Moscow has always been and remains the biggest industrial hub. What are main areas for the development of territorial development are there? I pass the floor to Gennady Doktev, General Director, Technopolis, Moscow Special Economic Zone. Over to you. Mr. Dektev, thank you. Good afternoon. That's Monday morning. And we have to adapt for a brief working week in order to be charged with energy until 2050. I think we can start with saying that attending any such meeting, we have to understand what is the very goal, what is the very mission of such a meeting, and what we rely on. We can remember 2025. Well, I kept thinking 2025, so it means that we can assess the period from not years to 2025, and from 2025 through 2050. So it means that in that room there are many people who can assess the period of 25 years of their own life, the achievements, the pace, and the changes that occurred all of us as the people who are living in the urban environment and who are working at certain factories and plants and enterprises, what tools we're using and what those tools give us. You who assess that from that standpoint, I think that the whole technological revolution that is taking place there, mean the industrial revolution, Industry 4.0, Industry 5.0, is related to certain areas and vectors. And first and foremost, this is about the time, the speed, or velocity, and what we get throughout that period, because we actually make a city within a city, and we try to make that closer to us so that the people can get all the services needed without leaving home using touch screens, and everything would be just delivered by autonomous vehicles, couriers. And it happens that our life would make us invest into ourselves, in our family members, in order to improve their education, improve their culture, and improve our self-sufficiency, but at the same time, we have to rely on achieving certain goals. And the architects are the creators of the architectural philosophers who offer some corridors to follow, set certain trends, and then we complement that with the transportation logistics, and this is an integral part of everything else. So these are just centers of gravity, so to say. And without that, neither transportation nor living could be imagined. I proceed from the following rationale. Well, what the previous speaker has said is very much demanded for, not because of the time, but because those who would be successful within that period of time in the next 25 years, these would be very successful in self-development and in attaining the goals that they put forward as Homo sapiens. We are reasonable people, and we have to understand what goals are most realistic and viable. And I do think that this would be about better compensation and better achievements and creating better conditions for the work. And so this is either or. Either we are creators or we are producers or manufacturers. We have our own professions. And let me proceed with some notes on industry. Several things that I think do not offer any answers to that question. They offer a way when everyone will have to find his identity, and everyone would run into obstacles that we do not know how to overcome. But at the same time, we understand that if the infrastructure and industry are developed the way we imagine, then those obstacles could be overcome much faster and much better, more efficient. In terms of getting prepared for our meeting, I made several highlights, and last week, President Putin said that this year is a determining one for the technological development, and he drew our attention to the fact that the core national projects should ensure technological leadership and sovereignty, and we have to become leaders in the pure sense of that. We see turbulent growth in all the spheres of our life. Russia is very well prepared for technological changes. Let me proceed with Moscow. Moscow certainly is a leader, which is open for cooperation and sharing best practices. Let me proceed with the legend. This is what is being called Moscow with the main hubs. The architects who are responsible for the development of the city, they offer for the nearest future to make some agglomerations or bigger cities with some logistics and other things being incorporated, driven by the main drivers of development. The south port of Tekstilshiki, I know better about that hub than Varshavskaya Brilova, Ochakova Bibinova, Kharkovskaya Chelepiha, Lihabore Krushnaya, and Avimotorne Nizhigorodskaya. As you may see, certainly, bear in mind that the infrastructure of the city develops very rapidly. We have to understand where the industries and manufacturing would be focused, would be concentrated. Southport, this is where we see high concentration of high-tech companies and development of automobile construction, because our neighbor is Moskvich, a car maker. This is where we're going to set up the architecture of horizontal ties, what is needed for Moskvich make or for the development of that enterprise. Tekstilshiki will become a place for a hub for high-tech companies. Last year, Sergei Sobyanin launched a project to set up a new business center. And this is what you don't see on this slide. This is about more than 600 hectares of land that would develop various urban development projects. that are seeking the same goals to create modern infrastructure, offer availability, parks, roads, routes, and besides, we incorporate the embankment of the River Moscow. And the embankment is being beautified, and it stretches from Zil factory that would be very much demanded for format once we complement that with the infrastructure necessary for comfortable living. So we proceed from the fact that Southport, this is an agglomeration which is now very well prepared with unique transport accessibility, and you can see that on this slide.
This includes the transportation routes near the Volgogradsky Prospect, and it's also a transfer hub which allows you to get straight to the circular line. We've made an estimate because we live there, we work there, we did it with our colleagues after the route that, you know, crisscrosses the city. We started making an estimate of what is going to make up the special economic zone, and we included four areas in the zone in December of 2024. Key ones are in Zelenograd, where we started the special economic zone in 2025 with the very first document signed, approved by the government in 2017. The government of Moscow included it in a number of areas, in the list of areas that need to be further developed, and now it's all part of the special economic zone where Tikhtilchiki is. So this brings up the need to do the following. Well, we need to make decisions from a central point, decision-making point, and of course this is informed by analytics and insights that the investors need. So we need to increase the effectiveness of production, reduce the costs, and improve productivity of your workplaces, and that would allow you to improve the effectiveness of your governance. Here I'm showing you this slide, and slide 3, 4, and 5, simply to portray the architecture. It's unfortunate the architect has left us, but what I'm trying to show you is that those that are making the city more comfortable are doing their best. We want it to be a world-class area, and of course we need to be mindful of the costs, and we need to do it together with the potential investors, and they need to calculate not just their future income but also the infrastructure that would enable them to do it in the most effective way. Just recently we had a public dialogue on finding the investors for these towers. On the left-hand side ones are going to be commissioned in June, and the third and the fourth and the fifth one on slide one are in search for the potential investors that would become involved in developing these areas and beautifying them. So of course we need to develop that space. That will be very similar to what they have here at the Lomonosov cluster. I've spoken with the colleagues here. The logistics is going to be the same. Mostly, these are going to be vertically integrated company that will be creating their own subsidiaries with a focus on a specific focus area. And we understand that as we develop the infrastructure, we need to stay in dialogue with our potential clients. These could be foreign companies, Russian-based companies, because we're not just selling investments as money. We're selling investment as investment that is focused on a specific area with efforts made to ensure that there's proper accessibility for those that are going to be operating on that platform and at that particular site. That will, of course, impact their salary levels. Of course, the investors are not interested in raising the salaries too high because that will eat into their profits. But this is the kind of collaboration that will mean that the lucky ones, the ones that have the opportunity to develop such areas, will be able to play it for the long term. And at the same time, they will realize that this is something that will be very much in need and will help develop various companies in this huge city. And Asiat Bogatyrova will be talking about this from the Department of Investments and Industrial Policy. So this will be needed regardless of how well developed the AI is. The AI will be helping the human intelligence. It's going to be the man that will be determining what would need to be done, what would need to be happening, because they will be focusing on raising their families and ensuring that they have proper conditions for entertainment and leisure, and ensuring that the needs of the people are fully met. And that is something that we're mindful of at every stage as we develop these projects. So this is a priority for us, not just for discussion purposes, but as something that will help us create future production facilities. We need to build a roadmap that will show how people will travel, will commute, how people will be required in a particular location, their skills and their expertise. So our goal is to ensure that we take care of all of the impediments that exist so that there are none afterwards, and we have a structure that is convenient for the industry and for people. These are some of the basic fundamental characteristics for the development through 2030, and we could show you some numbers for 2050, but they're going to be even more impressive, those numbers. I'm especially impressed by the 100,000 new jobs that are going to be created. This means that we are creating a local sub-city with local management of a rather large-sized settlement, and that is something that can be moved and replicated in other areas for clusters of this type. This is where the architects are expressing the wish that we not make the mistakes of the past. Do not want to create such production facilities there that would be interfering with people's lives. It's not an easy task to perform, but it is probably the most important one, because otherwise all the money that we will have invested in the development of the infrastructure will not work around the clock. And secondly, it will not be creating the surplus value, because that's the backbone of this type of activity. So we need to find a solution that will ensure that we maintain those jobs and maintain the pace of creating new jobs that would be in sync with the requirements of a particular area, both in terms of manufacturing jobs and service jobs. In this case, we want to see some opportunity for growth. There will be an agreement put in place that we call the residence agreement. It will explain what the company that is based out there will be doing, what are going to be the commitments that the company will have. So we need to create comfortable conditions for those that operate in that area, and the infrastructure needs to meet the demands of the manufacturing industry. If we look at this cluster, this is the first time I'm here after it got commissioned. All the companies that operate with the vertically integrated arrangement, they have enough funds and resources and support and opportunities to create spin-offs for development. They save money, they save time, and if they home in on a particular area, they would get in their position the engineering infrastructure, which reduces the time to construct by 30% money-wise. That saves 20% of their potential costs as opposed to a greenfield project. And most importantly, you will get a ready-made agglomeration for interactions. Your decision-making goals are changing because you don't need to think about how people are going to be operating when they are in the workplace. It has to be a workplace that will allow people to focus them on their job, saving them unnecessary extra efforts to make their lives more comfortable. All of that has been taken care of. And that's what I spoke about when I talked about the technology in my first slide. We were asked to do the following. I don't know who is in this room, but I would appreciate if you could, you know, scan this QR code, and would appreciate it if you could tell us what you think about us. Maybe you just know our name, but there are not that many such special economic zones. There are maybe several dozens at the maximum. And maybe you're interested in this, so you would want to learn more about us, and we would appreciate your feedback. And if you want to recommend to your children where they should study so that they could immediately find employment after they graduate, or you want to have better workplaces going forward, would appreciate if your feedback is provided to us. It's certainly going to be treated with full confidentiality, and together with our system and our founder, we are doing this on a systemic level, which means that we are capable of responding to what's going on in the minds of people as they respond to our development. So we would really appreciate if you could give us let us know what you think. Speaking about concessionary conditions, we are showing them only as part of the existing legislation. And again, Asiat will speak more about the foundations and the whole set of financial tools that can be made available to the industry. And the industrial people and those who enter these fields are key to this. In the past, when you entered this field, let's say if you entered the field of commerce or something similar to that, with a lot of liquidity, certainly industry is more long-term, but it is more guaranteed. And capitalization is higher here, and it's not just money-wise higher, but it's also better in terms of the products you churn out. And that helps you with your branding and the logistics of your brand recognition. Gennady, please sum up your talk. Yes. So, of the things that you see on these slides, those preferences and concessions, you can buy back the land plot after you've fulfilled your residence commitment, and then you would get it at a really good concessionary rate based on its cadastral value. Thank you very much. You could scan this QR code. Sorry if I was dragging this for too long. Thank you very much for such a great presentation of Moscow of the future. Since we started talking about investment, I would like to try to understand how the industry and the investment industry of Moscow of the future is going to develop. And that is what Asiat Bagatyrova is going to talk about. She is the head of the Investment Climate and Movement Office of the Moscow Department of Investment and Industrial Policy. Thank you very much. It's hard to talk after Mr. Dyogtyev. Thanks for giving me the floor. Nevertheless, I will focus on the fact that Moscow is indeed a leader in investment and industrial policy in Russia. Rankings that Moscow is part of speak about this. Moscow for 6 years have been at the top of the investment rankings and across the entire country. It's also a leader among key megacities of the world. In 2022, Moscow became a part of top 25 best megacities in terms of the investment climate of the city. That was the time when we were compared with world-class cities like London, Singapore, Chicago. By 2022, we reached that level, which is a pretty high level, and international rankings, including Financial Times rankings, found us to be a part of that top 25 list of cities that are the leading cities in the world in terms of investment climate. But to talk about the development of the cities of the future, I would like to focus on why people, you know, assemble, gather in megacities and in these agglomerations, why they choose that for living. Certainly, Moscow has achieved a lot in terms of developing its territories, its human capital, but it doesn't stop there. It keeps on going forward. Since 1960, the number of cities has, with the population of more than 1 million people, has grown from 76 to more than 100. And the role of the economies of large cities is growing, and the share of jobs in the private sector in the cities with a population of more than 1 million is higher. And certainly the megacities are the focus of investment. High density of population is something that allows us to develop a comfortable city environment and a well-developed system for commuting. It creates opportunities for developing innovations. We believe that we need to develop within these agglomerations. What does it give to the cities? It gives access to the common labor market, which is quite diverse, where everyone will have an opportunity to find a job very quickly. It also provides access to a high volume sales market, plus you know, information of cultural value and access to establishments of such facilities of cultural values, plus engineered infrastructure. We can say, in essence, that cities are the drivers for the development of the economy. 21% of the overall investment in Russia are investments in Moscow. It is obvious that smaller cities develop because they are close to larger megacities. Such cities as Innopolis, Zelenograd, Kaliningrad can develop because they have successful facilities that make up the bulk of the industry of the city. Thus, this helps provide high level of standards of living for the people. Quite often, Moscow is compared with such cities as Dobrograd or Tashkent or Forestdale, Lesnaya Polyana. They develop and they provide an impetus for the further development of others. But the success of these small cities is hinged upon their successful facilities, production facilities. If these cities do not have such industrial facilities, small cities can only develop if they are close to a larger city. And that's a global experience. All smaller cities, and let's say cities like Palo Alto and Cambridge in the United States, or Berkeley, Stanford, they're all part of larger cities next to manufacturing cities, where there's a lot of culture, education, and there's infrastructure, something that people need in order to have, you know, good quality pastime and leisure, time they can spend with their families. And certainly incentives are needed to develop these cities, and that can be achieved by combining large agglomerations. One of the impetuses for the development of such megacities is the development of the infrastructure for transport. That's why Moscow spent so much time developing its transportation system. It includes the Moscow Central Diameter, the high-speed highways. Interesting experience says that cities that have high-speed highways helps increase the regional domestic product by 10%. So whenever we talk about the future, we project that the number of cities with a population of more than 1 million will grow by one-third, and nearly 47% of urban population will be living in megacities. The share of cities with a population of 300,000 will go down to 37%. And asking the question of the moderator, what is the factor driving the development of Moscow? I would like to say there are three key factors there. One of them is the digitalization. Definitely, in order to ensure high quality of services for the businesses, you need to have a very good level of digitalization. Since Moscow and the Russian Federation is somewhat closed off from the international community, despite that, Moscow is in the top five of cities with the best level of digitalization of services for the local population. At these, at this time, regardless of the geopolitical situation in the world and the bias against Russia, Moscow is still proving that it is the leader in providing services for businesses, for people, according to international standards.
The federal authorities annually hold contests which are called Smart Cities, and Moscow, for the third year in a row, is the leader in that context. Thanks to the services that are being developed in the city for the people, for the residents. First of all, this is about Moscow e-school and Moscow ticket program, the program to get appointment to the doctors, EMEAS. This offers a barrier-free, seamless services rendering to the residents and therefore contributes to the development of the city. First of all, as I said, this is a digitalization is the main factor and impetus for shaping the city of the future by 2050. And secondly, this is about the comprehensive support of the investors. I represent the Investment Climate Improvement Office, and we were told that this is actually the very hub of the Moscow infrastructure. This isn't just one side, but this is an agglomeration of sites within Moscow that not only features certain enterprises, but this is a beautified territory that may act as a magnet for the people, attracting them, offering comfortable living and working conditions. We develop the territories comprehensively. We concentrate the production and entertainment opportunities on various sites. And this provides for a balanced development of the city. And this is one more key factor that would ensure the future of Moscow by 2050. I spoke already about the comprehensive support that we offer to the investors. Once the Department of Investment Industrial Policy invites investors, we never offer only one solution. When the investors apply to us for investments, for instance, and once they get to the Moscow Investment Support Office, they would also be offered an opportunity to open a banking account or to get a land plot. We offer one-stop-shop approach. The investors do not have to go to different agencies and offices to get all the necessary permits. Moscow has set up an investment and industrial policy department that appoints a manager to every sponsor that offers a comprehensive support from scratch, from making a business plan and consultations on how to calculate that and ending with the localization and manufacturing. Such a comprehensive investor's support offers favorable environment for investment projects in Moscow. Summing up, I may say that in Moscow now we have different measures of support that have been rendered. And probably it doesn't make sense to elaborate on that. But concluding my remarks, I may say that in order to get ample information about the opportunities and services that you may get for your investment projects, we have created an investment portal of the city of Moscow where you can, using your smartphone or writing an application or getting a consultation, you can get any support you need that would be tailored for you. I invite you all to visit the portal of Moscow. And final word, should you have any ideas how to develop your business? My department is responsible for big businesses, but at the same time, we are ready to acquaint you with other agencies of the city of Moscow that will ensure the launch of project and its comprehensive support. Thank you so much, Ms. Bogatyreva. Unfortunately, our full speaker failed to show up. He was supposed to tell us about the view of a foreigner on Moscow nowadays and Moscow the future. In Moscow, we see a big inflow of tourists despite what is going on in the world nowadays, despite the whole environment, but nevertheless, Moscow invites all the guests, invites with its infrastructure, attracts with its cultural heritage. Can you tell us more, my dear speakers? How Moscow attracts tourists? Why is it interesting for those who come to Moscow on a visit? Mr. Dektev, what do you think about that? I assume that tourists are attracted by the pace of life in Moscow, because within a very brief period of time, not only you can visit the downtown, but areas where some events have been arranged, and you may visit some places of interest, and judging by the applications for industrial tourism, it means that the people try to visually assess how with such a rapid pace of life amid the Summer in Moscow project, amid other projects that are being implemented in Moscow to live comfortably. And the Summer in Moscow project puts you in a totally different atmosphere, just which is absolutely extraterrestrial. The very pace of life that has been supported by articles, media coverage. Well, people arrive in order to see whether this is true or false, whether what they hear about Moscow is true or not true. And the domestic tourism is on the rise. This is something that we were lacking very much. And we see now the inflow of tourists to the Far East, especially tourists from China, and we were short of infrastructure. That the projects that have been implemented help us to improve the event-driven tourism. We're going to restore the flights to the cities and areas that arrange different events, and the network of tickets would be made in order to make tickets more affordable.
The
foreigners, foreign nationals come to Moscow just in order to see some places of interest, but the domestic tourism is not just about seeing places of interest, but rather people bring their children to Moscow to see where they can get higher education. At the same time, we see that many regions of Russia offer programs when the people may get educated in Moscow and they would come back to their homeland, to their home countries, in order to meet the expectations of the employers. Well, as for the manufacturing is concerned, for instance, if a technician doesn't explain it to you how the machine tool works, you will never understand what it is, and you will never understand what technologies actually would be made. For instance, I'm speaking about the five-axis turning. Lathe, for instance. And if I just say that, probably you would not understand what it means and where it's being used. But once you get explained, once you meet that at the manufacturing, you will look at a different angle, how it all works. And once you visit some plant or factory, you will see actually what this or that machine is going to be used for. For instance, before we heard about 3D printer and we didn't know, we couldn't expect that it might be used to produce different components, but now 3D printers may do a lot once it is supported by the ideas from our designers. I think that this is the most important thing, to get the necessary documentation that could be uploaded onto the software of the machine tool. Ms. Bogatyrova, how do you think citizens could be involved in shaping the future of the city? What such projects could look like? Did you speak about the workforce? How citizens may impact the development of Moscow, could be engaged into shaping the future of the city. Moscow offers a lot of services to engage the citizens into shaping the future of the cities. That's an active citizen project. We arrange a lot of contests, Russian national ones and international ones. Those contests serve as a platform to discuss the solutions offered for the city. In Moscow, every resident may vote for instance, giving a name to a bus stop or to a metro stop. And for instance, in terms of the urban planning, every citizen may participate in the public hearings as to how the district is going to be developed, and this is the way the citizens may impact the decision-making. There are lots of opportunities there. To follow up what Gennady Dektor was saying. Moscow has a lot of events that shape a very attractive environment that is welcomed by the students and tourists from across Russia and CIS countries, and the international students and tourists. Those events arouse a lot of curiosity. Moscow is unique in a sense that it actually has unique districts. I'm living in Moscow, and we have a timetable of different activities that the citizens may get for free for themselves, for their kids, and they spend their time with use and with interest. Those events that are arranged in Moscow are very attractive for the visitors and the newcomers. Thank you so much. Just several minutes left, and I think we can collect several questions from the room. Should you have any questions, raise a hand and take the mic. Yes, please. Thank you so much, my dear colleagues. Thank you to the organizers of that brilliant forum. Thank you so much. But I have a wish to all of you and to the viewers as well. I am a nuclear physicist by background. You speak about excellent projects, but you didn't touch upon the safety problems. For instance, I was born in Moscow. I was born in the city of Arbat, where Patriarchy Ponds, and I lived all my life here next to university metro. And three times I was hit and run by the couriers. I think that delivery has to be done by the second floor delivery. So otherwise, we, the pensioners, would find ourselves in a very difficult situation. So I, a Muscovite, I'm afraid of walking the streets of Moscow. I had to move to my country house. Thank you so much. Okay. My dear viewers, my dear colleagues, unfortunately, our panel session has exhausted the time dedicated to that, and we have to wrap it up. And once again, thank everyone for your participation. Thank you for being with us, for your contributions. And I hope that we will see Moscow the way it was drawn and depicted today by our speakers. Thank you so much.